first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to podcast show number 110. We are recording this on Wednesday the 19th of December. It is very close to Christmas. Can you feel the festive spirit, fellas?
Yes.
I can, but unfortunately, yeah, you might recognise from the lack of pub noise, we are standing sitting outside our usual pub, because all the cretins that only go to the pub at Christmas and don't go every week to talk about football are inside, probably not actually talking about football, they're just
talking.
Talking
about football.
Oh, well, I'd like to think they are, but no, they're not.
And also, we're double R'd. So.
Well, that's true
as well.
We're
basically braving the cold.
Well, we're double colds. Yeah, we're giving it to the listeners. We've got John Day, Leeds. Mr. Daniel Silva, our resident Spurs fan. Michael Coxon, resident Northern Australia Man United fan. I am the host, Jim Staples, Chillingham fan. Right, 110.
Was it the age Stanley Matthews retired at?
No, he's still playing. 110,000 is the highest ever attendance in the Olympic Stadium in Berlin. Do you know what game it was for?
No, go on.
Baseball.
Oh,
wow. Baseball.
The Germans love their
but
baseball.
But it was still 110,000. The capacity's now been cut, obviously. Hosted the 1974 World Cup in its old guise. And then in 2000, it was renovated for the 2006 World Cup. On January the 9th, 2002, workers found an unexploded World War II bomb under one of the stands. I didn't know that. Berlin Police took it out and detonated it outside the stadium.
Just in case England won the World Cup.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, no, I never read that at the time. Right, we've had a week since the last show. Football. What have we all made of it?
Football.
It's been a game, two halves.
Well, first of all, let's start with Chelsea Corinthians. I think they were playing the day that we spoke last week, weren't they? Chelsea were playing in their semi-final.
Sunday morning, wasn't it?
Yeah, Sunday,
I don't understand.
No, Monday morning. How did Chelsea lose
to a team made up of those little figures with the big heads?
Did you see the attendance? How many fans they took out there? They had like 80,000 fans or something. And I don't know whether...
40,000.
Ridiculous.
Which is unbelievable.
I don't know how many of them travelled and how many didn't. Right, but hang on, we have found Michael Coxon. Just go. We might have found a table.
Pause.
We might have found a table. No, we don't need to. Yeah, well, let's pause. We might come back to you in a minute. If we don't get a table, it's going to be very disappointing. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast. We are now indoors.
That was delightful.
Eagle lovely and warm. Spotter's badge to Michael Coxon. He saw a table, and we have grabbed that table, and
it's
we are now inside.
That was lucky.
It was lucky. It was raining, it was cold, it was horrible. Right, so Corinthians. Did anyone actually watch the game? I guess you were all at work.
I saw bits of the Corinthians game.
Saw the highlights. Saw that save.
Oh, yeah, absolutely magnificent.
Unbelievable save.
And then if we move on to the Premier League from the weekend, shame Jay's not here, because Aston Villa.
No.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But now everyone is talking about Benteke. I know he scored two goals. The best thing he did was the back heel for the second goal, for Wyman's goal. He's also doing a bit as well, to be fair, in terms of Wyman. Don't know where he came from, but...
I mean, I've been saying all season, Villa, they're playing well without getting a result, but they're starting possibly to gel a bit more, and Lambert looks like he's not doing a terrible job there.
I'll tell you what, Lambert and Rodgers were both the managers that looked like they were really, really sort of struggling to make an impact on those clubs.
Yeah.
And I think they've been given a bit of time. The fans haven't really got on their backs from what I can make out, and they might now be the bosses that are coming through.
Yeah.
If they get a good January, like everyone's talking about Liverpool, are only now 5 points off fourth place, is it something?
Well, I think they might have moved slightly further back now after the weekend, I think it's seven.
But they have got quite an easy run over.
They've got some games that they really
winnable,
should be.
Winnable. But we said that with Villa, so.
Yeah.
But have you seen who QPR have got in their games? They have not got a good Christmas. Newcastle, Man United.
Home to Liverpool.
Yeah, Liverpool as well. And the way they're playing.
They're playing, there's results they can pick up, and it's a shame Stu's not here because they finally won a bloody game.
True as well, but he might be here in a minute. More to come on that later. Elsewhere, Man United 3, Sunderland 1, standard.
Yeah.
Van Persie doing a bit.
Well, it was interesting looking at it. It's not that interesting, but...
is it interesting or is it not?
Only once in the last... I've seen a lot about Sunderland apparently bend over for United all the time. Only once in the last 10 years before the weekend, United beaten them by more than two goals.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
And they got a lot of points out Trafford Sunderland, including the year that they went down with like 15 points or something.
Not bad. They drew there, did they?
Yeah. No, so,
and then to be fair, Sunderland came
to be fair, last half hour they could have got
three. Last half hour, yeah, they did very well. A couple of good saves in there. So.
I'm gonna have to put my little Spurs cap on for a sec. Actually, really nice to see the Spurs get a grind out a victory against a very, very stubborn Swansea side.
Really good goal, actually.
Jan Vertonghen.
Really good goal. Swansea didn't offer much up front at all, to be honest. But
apart from getting knocked out by Lloris.
It wasn't the best Super Sunday in the world, was it? Because the West Brom West Ham game was an absolute dog. But I mean, good point for West Ham.
Is it fair to say about Tottenham that they're nothing without Bale, though?
I don't think so. They've picked up two wins.
Well, valid point.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say that Gareth Bale doesn't deserve a place in the Tottenham team, therefore he should be sold at the first opportunity? Cut price deal.
Interesting in Mike Dean to allow play to go on when someone had killed themselves as well.
Yeah, that was a bit dodgy. I don't think there was a lot of contact, really, because you saw when he went down, he then sort of did the whole wipe on his brow, and then decided after doing that, then he was going to go out all spread eagle. So it was a bit. I'm not sure if he really caught him that badly, but I know what you mean. If it is a head injury, we should have scored. Andros Townsend broke down the end.
Yeah, he should have done. Newcastle 1, Man City 3. That's actually a really good game, actually, the kick-off on Saturday.
Yeah.
Norwich 2, Wigan 1. Norwich absolutely ploughing on. They've got Man United at home coming up, and they've got someone else. I think they've got Chelsea and Man United at home over Christmas.
No, they've already beat Man United at home.
You're right.
No, that was last season Wigan beat us.
No, Norwich. Norwich.
Sorry, I'm not listening.
Yeah, no, Norwich have got Chelsea and someone else. It might be Liverpool, someone like that.
They've got Arsenal, I think they might. No, they've beaten Arsenal.
Basically, we don't know who Norwich are playing.
It really does depend which Wigan turns up for it, though.
No, absolutely. Going back
to Newcastle quickly. They've got to do something about Denver Bar, haven't they? They've either got to get rid of him or sort him out, because that's just going on and on now. Yeah.
Or did he say that Arsenal are a team that makes him dream or something like that?
Nice and cryptic, that, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Talking about finding Balotelli taking Man City to court now.
Yeah.
It's absolutely unbelievable. They're paying his wages and he's taking him to court. It's genius. You
know, he's actually said this morning he's withdrawn out of respect for Mancini, the club, and the fans.
I thought they came to a mutual agreement.
That's what Balotelli's statement said. Yeah.
Right. Do you know why they were fining him? Because he missed 11 games last season in all competitions.
Suspension.
Through suspension.
Yeah. It's fair enough.
Yeah.
Elsewhere in the Premier League, QPR 2, Fulham 1. That Tarat goal was just absolute genius.
When he plays, he plays.
I spoke to a couple of people that were at a game and they said he was absolutely phenomenal from start to finish. I really think Redknapp will get the best out of him, like Warnock did.
Well, but he didn't get Spurs. He didn't, and he also said
when he sold him, he said never has he thought that a player might come back to bite him on the arse more than Tarat. He said that at the time that he released him, let him go to QPR. So I think Redknapp's probably quite happy that he's now got him back.
You know what we haven't mentioned with Redknapp? Was it not? You remember the classic footage of him getting hit in the face with a ball?
Yes. Yeah.
Was that not
back
Sean Derry?
I don't know who it was.
I'm sure that was either Sean Derry or Clint Hill.
Someone that's now
that
at the club.
Now at the club, yeah. I'm certain of that.
Where was he your manager at the time?
Was it Portsmouth or Spurs? West Ham?
It was West Ham, so it wasn't Sean Derry. I thought it was Berkovic.
No, I'm sure. We'll look it up, because I'm sure.
Then he got John Arson to smash him in the face.
We've spoken about it before, and I'm sure it was Sean Derry.
Do you think it was a little bit extreme, though, Redknapp saying it was one of the all-time greatest performances? I think he's pushing the boat out a little bit.
Manager to get the best out of his players.
In the manner of Ralph Harris, the only game we haven't touched on now is Stoke Everton. The standout incident being played. And did you see who's their assistant manager? Stubbs. Yeah. Alan Stubbs came out and said that he'll have to take the punishment on the chin.
Oh.
And I thought that is amazing. Then I thought, no, he's not actually taking a piss. He's just said that as a turn of phrase.
Well, that's my standout performance of the week, is actually David Moyes coming out straight away and saying, no, should be banned. Because so many managers were pussyfoot around and saying, Shawcross was winding him up. No, Moyes came out, fair play. And to Fellaini, fair play, he came out and admitted it.
I agree with what you're saying, right, about Moyes saying that and stuff, but when it's that blatant, he'd be an absolute fool, and Fellaini as well, to try and deny it or blame on something.
Fair play to Shawcross for not reacting to any of the three incidents.
Yeah. I don't know what, he must have something. He's obviously either not getting laid or someone's really wound him up that day.
Shawcross! That's what they've said. They said the marking from set pieces.
They were some problems because a plan that him and Zach Morris had at Bayside wasn't going to plan. So
That's just a Screech joke for anyone who remembers Screech.
Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell, classic. Mr. Bell did legend.
Tiffany Amethyston.
Oh, yes.
I've got a few standout performances. Peterborough winning away at Cardiff.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Would 9 times out of 10 be my standout, but one, I had it on my acky, so like you said, it's one of those games where you're just like, yeah, chuck that in. It's not going to add much to my acky, but we'll chuck it on. Coventry, they were playing Doncaster, who I know weren't doing amazingly form-wise in the league, but to go there and beat them 4-1, and Doncaster were like third or fourth before the start of the game as well. They dropped a few points recently. To beat them 4-1, Coventry are now up to sort of mid-table. Wasn't too long ago, we were looking at them at like second, third bottom. Yeah. And he's absolutely doing a bit. Robbins.
And we talked about them might be ground share with Hinkley. Is it they can't?
Yeah, we sort of mentioned that. We sort of mentioned that last week. Basically, that's all to do with the council owning the ground and stuff like that. But I see that as Coventry sort of saying, oh yeah, we might have to move out, so they get a little bit of pressure.
Well, they must have and Diamonds ground as well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Who are like
are now ground sharing with somebody else.
Exactly. Just an absolute ridiculous situation. And for all that to be going off the pitch and for them to turn up and beat Doncaster 4-1 is absolutely magnificent. Anyone else for standout? Who have you gone for? Your boy's got another win. Leeds.
I was actually there, went up there.
No, to be fair, I'd have to say Peterborough, because that to me was literally on every accumulator I had that weekend. Well, Cardiff to win. Astonishing result, really. So, yeah, basically.
We mentioned mine already, Jan Vertonghen. He was a monster and scored a winning goal.
Fair enough.
I've said David Moyes to stand out, but stand down, I think got to go back to Chelsea and the fact that they didn't take that tournament as seriously as they perhaps could have, I think. A lot of teams don't, but you can see how much it means in South America when Corinthians won it.
Yeah, true. My stand down would be NK Dons for winning a game 1-0 at home.
Yeah.
Not especially.
And nobody classed anybody.
Yeah.
So.
And it was Hartlepool, who are like the worst team in the world.
No points.
Nine points, one win all season out of 22 games.
Links back to Chelsea as well, and for that abysmal performance against Corinthians, and more to the point about the abysmal performance of recycling. Because if you see the whoever it was just stuck the team sheet tactics, just chucked it in the bin in the change room.
A reporter
nipped in, grabbed it, and leaked the dodgy looking tactics.
We've got a blue bin for that up in Harrow, you know.
Do you know what I mean? It's all about recycling. We're a green friendly podcast. We're not.
No. Fair enough. No, we're definitely not. Lionel Messi scored his 90th goal in between last week's show.
Who?
Exactly.
He did. I'll tell you something.
The 90th goal was a lovely little finish, though. Who scored the first goal in that game? Falcao. His goal was absolutely. The chip was absolutely amazing.
I'll tell you, I've got standout thoughts for you. The BBC, for not even mentioning Lionel Messi when they did Overseas Sports Personality of the Year. That is a farce.
Yeah.
Valid. Far and away the best footballer.
I was happy that Wiggins got it, though, just because of the way he tweeted. Remember who tweeted Piers Morgan?
Yeah.
Piers Morgan tweeted him saying, should have sung the national anthem, should have gone to prison for fraud and manipulate, but each to their own.
Speaking of sports personality, did you see when company and came out? The whole crowd doing the positive.
I would have been interested to see it because I saw Michael Owen was in the crowd, but I doubt he would have been doing it. And I think
imagine
if Alex Ferguson was sat there and Bobby Charlton.
Does anyone watch the X Factor final?
No, because I'm a man.
Did anyone watch the X Factor final because their girlfriends were watching it?
No,
I did. They interviewed Rio Ferdinand.
Yeah, they did.
Halfway in the middle of the X Factor final. Yeah, and it was the day.
It was the day that he got caught. I remember I saw that on Facebook.
Joe Hart's brother was talking about it. Yeah, of course he was. Yeah, and his mum. Yeah. Just sharpening coins as they were watching X-Factor.
See old Gary Lineker, though, showing off with a bit of Spanish, doing a bit of translating for Aguero.
I really enjoyed that.
I've seen it. The translation of what Aguero actually said is, why is this Gary Lineker fella saying this? I'm saying that.
He doesn't know Lineker's name. He fucking should. He's the best goal scorer in the world.
Isn't that the man
statistically?
Who used to play
statistically.
Steve Bull.
He was in 1986. if you finish golden boot winner in the World Cup, you've got a claim to be say yourself. Well, no, Milan Baroš did that in the Euros. So move on. Mwamba as well. Good to see him get on stage with the doctors on one side and his best mates in football on the other.
I thought he was
breaking up a little bit, wasn't he? When he was talking, it was like really emotional.
Christmas Day, my missus will be watching him on the old Strictly Come Dancing. So I'll give you a bit.
Mwamba on Strictly Come Dancing.
He's on the Christmas special.
That's amazing.
That's what I thought he said on the stage.
Fabrice Mwamba is doing the samba as well.
That's quite good.
Right. Yeah.
There's a song to be had there, without a doubt. Right, moving on to different news. Serbia will eventually fined $65,000 by the UEFA panel. $65,000.
The worst thing is
1 week's wages for you, isn't it, Jim?
Except, can you imagine Bentner was fined $80,000 for the Paddy Power or Stan James Pants?
To be fair, if Serbia had been chanting there's only one Paddy Power, they probably would have got a bigger fine.
But, so the panel that met, I think it was 8 of them or 12 of them, they had the right to impose an $800,000 fine, which is the most they could do, and they could ban not just the Serbian under 21s, they could ban proper Serbia for about 10 games or something like that, from crowds and stuff. And what have they done? A $65,000 fine.
Well, it's going to get increased. Platini and Blatter both come out and said they want it to be increased.
Yeah, Blatter said it's disappointed.
It's like an independent sort of panel, isn't it?
Platini's going to appeal against it, apparently.
Yeah, it's made up of people that have been at UEFA for years, which might be the problem.
Even worse, Coulter and is it Tom Ince are both banned for a game. The audacity of being black and standing up when you've been raised
True. In other news, Peter and Love.
Yeah, it's horrible, isn't it?
So basically, he was involved. They were coming back from a charity football game, I think. Him and his brother and two other passengers. The car tyre blew out, allegedly hit some trees. Have you seen the picture of the car?
No.
How anyone can survive? And Peter and Love's brother, who also was a footballer, passed away. I think one of the passengers passed away.
Yeah.
And Peter and Love, the rumours on Sunday were circulating that he passed away in critical condition, but fortunately he hasn't.
A broken leg and broken rib.
Yeah, but I mean, it's unbelievable. If you go in and Google, like, and Love crash, I can't believe that anyone survived, got out of that car at all. And obviously over there, he's an absolute hero. Their biggest sporting personality.
He's still a legend with Coventry, got a trick at Anfield.
The fact that, I know, Dan's, how do you spell Peter and Love?
Yeah.
NDLOVU.
Thanks, mate.
The traditional way of spelling on Love.
How much people were talking about it on Twitter and whatever, and his teammates were coming out straight away.
You got it right the first time, Daniel. NDLOVU. Unloved.
Naughty Boys of the Week, anyone?
Zenit St. Petersburg fans.
Do you know what? Sorry.
What have
I
done?
I wanted to jump on. I've had a few variations of, Muppet of the Week or Wanker of the Week.
Sounds like example, the rapper of the week.
Yeah, thanks. Well, no, if you don't like profanities, please close your ears now.
Don't use the C word.
No, I am. Ignorant cunts of the week. Because that is as bad as it is.
Have they done anyway? Because I don't know.
Then you will agree with this, because this is what has happened. Their main supporters group has called for all non-white and gay players to be excluded from the team. In an open letter.
What's this? Which supporters group then?
Zenit St. Petersburg.
What, the officials?
Landskrona, their biggest official supporters group, has come out and said the gay and black players have been forced down their throat, and that gay players are unworthy of their great city.
I'd like Dion Dublin to be forced down their throat.
I apologise, but that is disgusting. There's absolutely. I mean, the chairman and
I
the
think in this in this one instance we can forgive that word.
The managers come out. Luciano Spalletti, former Monaco and Roma managers, come out.
So what's he said? Has he been adamant?
He said they only wanted Russians, players from Slavic nations, and Scandinavian nations, and nobody else.
It's unbelievable that the biggest official would come out and publicly say that. It's just
what's
it shows it,
yeah. Especially at this time, racism is massive.
Another racial incident as well. Apparently, Barrow fans have been accused of racially abusing Matt Brown, the Macclesfield skipper,
last night,
and that's been investigated. So again, it's just horrible that this keeps rearing its ugly head. I mean, this year it seems to almost have been marked by it
since the Suarez incident, really, isn't it?
Terry incident late last year, true. But Suarez and all these things, it just seems to have been bubbling under and come back to the fore.
Not as bad, more tongue in cheek, but silly boy for saying it. The Liverpool youngster Suso, he tweeted about calling Luis Enrique gay for having his teeth whitened. which is more tongue-in-cheek, yeah. But he's now been fined by
the best. You know what the actual tweet was?
Yeah, the full tweet.
He sent a photo of him having his teeth whitened and said, what F, and he put stars, is he doing? This guy's gay, he does everything except play football. Like, that's funny. Obviously, apart from the gay bit, but even then, like, come on.
But he's a 19-year-old kid. Do you remember, like, when we were 19, you'd be like, oh, that's gay.
And
like,
but, I wouldn't, I was educated.
Whatever. But you know what I mean? It was more silly than anything, but yeah.
But you know, Enrique came out and.
Did he?
No, God. I said that genuinely as well. But he came out and said, it's amazing how the FA can fine my friend Suso Fernandez for a banter thing. It was just a joke. Lol. Yeah, no, he didn't put low. He put a few exclamation marks, but we're not putting in for naughty boy in that, are we?
I've got
genuine naughty boys though. So I'm sorry, you can interrupt me, but I can't go over you, can we, Daniel? What? Oh, fine then. Go on, example.
No, Mike, speak.
Thank you.
I prefer to hear yours.
The security staff of Sao Paulo.
Oh, I'm not having that.
Basically, Copa Sudamerica is the equivalent of the Europa League.
Okay.
And it was a final. They played over two legs. In the final, Sao Paulo were beating Tigre of Argentina 2-0. And Tigre refused to come out for the second half because they claimed that they were being threatened by the security staff with guns. And basically there was a bit of a melee in the tunnel. There's accusations that Tigre players went into the Sao Paulo changing room for a fight, but it's now been investigated. So Sao Paulo won the Copa Sudamerica, but using firearms. So
that is interesting.
That was really worth bearing in mind.
Because yours will be interesting. It'll be about Spurs. Bearing in mind the World Cup is in Brazil in 2014.
This is the thing as well. Yeah, you've got to look at the forward to the
wider context.
And there's been a lot of speak recently about the World Cup and them not being ready and the social problems and what.
Go on, Daniel. Go on. But another thing now. Yeah, go on.
What have we got, Dan? Naughty boy?
No, silly boy.
Okay, silly boy.
Silly boy. Stephen Gerrard having the old billboarders to an apartment at 3 o'clock in the morning throwing a massive Christmas party. That's more of a lad story as well.
Wait, it's the third time it's happened in a year, isn't it?
Second in 11 months. So he
loves a party.
He loves a party.
Was it Phil Collins flaring out?
No, he was playing Samba. It was just Muamba. Giving it a bit of Samba on the dance.
So you had all the stars there.
Muamba, Samba.
All the stars, like who?
All the stars.
Matthew Kelly?
All the Liverpudlians.
Ah. Well, speaking of Liverpudlians, and this is a...
Did you see Millwall were playing Brighton last night, and they were playing for their Christmas party. If they maintained their unbeaten run, they got a Christmas party. If they lost, they weren't. Millwall at Brighton. They drew 2-2 last night.
Last year, goal from Brighton as well.
But yeah, they were 2-0 up, actually, I think, and drew 2-2. But still, I like the fact, right, if you win or you draw and they maintain their unbeaten run, you've got a Christmas party.
That's a bloody good incentive.
So I swear every team loses that game.
Going back to Liverpudlians, though, can I urge everyone listening to go out and download He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother by the Justice Collective this week.
Yes, very good shout. Someone mentioned that on Twitter to us.
It was Ian Johnson, who is a Liverpool fan, good lad.
What's the Johnson?
Basically, all the funds are going to go Glenn towards Johnson. Fighting for justice for the Hillsborough families. It's actually a good charity record.
Did you see the great lineup? Kenny Dalglish in HMV Liverpool. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Absolutely. Brilliant. He was just on the checkouts at HMV Liverpool. Really? People were walking in, going up to the checkout. That's Kenny Dalglish. In fact, he ain't going to get a job back in football management. So.
Mike, you've been a northerner. Can you translate to me a bit? He said, all right, boys, it would be boss if you could mention the Hillsborough song.
Boss means good.
Good.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It doesn't need to translate. You just need to be a bit street.
And not a bit street.
A posh boy.
Sorry.
They don't teach that at London.
Have we ever mentioned it? Dan's got a
Brighton college.
Have we ever mentioned that Dan's got a tongue piercing on the podcast before?
Why would we do that?
Well, we just have. He's from Brighton and he's got a tongue piercing. I'll just leave that with you.
He's wearing a nice pink polo shirt as well.
And he's had his teeth whitened quite recently.
Nice!
On the Hillsborough as well, it's been announced this morning that the previous inquiry has been quashed. So they are going to have a new inquiry, which is great news. But it's a great lineup. The people involved in this include Paul McCartney, Evertonian.
He does the meat-free food range. Does any McCartney?
Linda.
Oh, Linda. God,
that's that.
They like that.
My gag.
Linda. What are you just shouting Linda in the corner?
Robbie Williams, who I won't call a fat...
talentless bastard because he's involved, so fair play. Members of the farm, John Power used to be in Cast and the Last.
Members of Sharon the farm, as in the band, not the band, just yeah. not just David
Peter Hooton and all that. Paul Heaton from the House Martins.
Yes.
Paloma Faith, Becca Ferguson, Beverly Knight.
Paul Heaton, is he Beautiful South as well?
Beautiful South, yeah.
Yeah, that's where I remember.
Holly Cook, whose dad was in the Sex Pistols and is now a very good singer herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, great lineup, and it is a good song. Peter Reed is in there doing it.
Oh, get Stanham.
Yeah, download it. Actually, 99p.
Yeah, download it. I urge you to.
No, that was one of the highlights of the year for me, because we did a show. Do you remember, we did our show literally minutes after the Hillsborough Inquiry, the new stuff had come out.
We can talk about that amazing. Next week when we do our special Christmas show.
We can indeed. England under 21s, you seen who they've been drawn against?
No.
Italy, Israel. Italy, Norway and Israel. Well done, that
is
man.
Is it going to happen in Israel still, though?
Yeah, is at the moment. Yeah, they're scheduled to start on the 5th of June in Tel Aviv against Italy. But I'm looking forward to seeing that. And obviously the host nation, Israel. Yes, I would like a pint of beer, Mike Croxon. Sam Miguel, please, sir. Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to watching that, because this is one of those summers where it's a blank summer in terms
nothing
of this.
Going.
Yeah, this, yeah. Last year we had the Olympics, the Euros, it was amazing.
Sport this year.
Yeah. And in the Paralympics, so this year it's one of, when you start watching like the Emirates Cup, suddenly becomes an attractive proposition. Yeah,
it's going to be a real long
ESPN is showing Irish games. Get on it, get on it. So I'm definitely going to get quite involved in that.
Speaking of Italy, what do you reckon? It's a bit out of order. You know, Napoli have been deducted 2 points. This is mid-season, and had a hefty fine for one of their ex-players being done for match fixing.
Okay.
Now, it's the ex-goalkeeper who's been banned for 39 months in an attempt to affix a game with Sampdoria in 2010.
Affix? He's going to affix a game? Jesus.
Well. But it's
get him out of football.
A bit arse, isn't it? A bit arse. It's an ex-goalkeeper who's no longer playing for him. And they're getting
who is he playing for
now? I'm not sure, but he's definitely not playing for... he's 36, so I imagine he might be out of the game. But a bit harsh, isn't it?
He might not be out of the game at 36.
True.
And he's a goalie.
But
yeah. Oh, he'll go. He's got 6 years in it. Or 38 if he's Neville Southall. He was still playing at
precisely
the age and weight of 42.
Brad Friedel still going strong.
How old's Brad Friedel? 40 about 41, isn't he?
Yeah.
Mark Schwartz is about that age as well. A little bit from me. Good news of the week.
Good news of the week.
Billy Sharp. He's had a son, Leo.
Are you joking?
I think absolutely amazing. Born,
that is lovely.
Born on Friday, just before the weekend, and he played on the game on Saturday. They drew 0-0, I think, and they draw 1-1. Anyway, he wore a dummy in his sock. Didn't score, but if he had scored, he would have got the dummy.
He's going to keep on wearing it under the sock.
I've got a little bit of goose pimples there.
Absolutely amazing.
I actually do.
Bloody hell.
Wow. And it's not even a year on from all that stuff he went through. So absolutely
fantastic.
Amazing. Shame he didn't score as well.
Yeah,
that
a real shame.
That would have been absolutely fantastic to see. But there you go. Right, any more for any more before we move on?
I saw. I reckon Neil Warnock holds a bit of a grudge. You see that he might not shake Benitez's hand at the weekend because of something that happened back in 2007.
It was a big thing that happened in 2007.
But I don't see how Benitez is to blame.
Because he filled a weak inside against Fulham.
They went to Fulham and fielded a weak inside. Hang on, they're criticising Liverpool. You're a Man United fan. I'm sure you'd be behind that.
Well, no, but it's ridiculous. You name a squad of players, you can play whoever you want to. I'm sorry.
Which is why I think that holding a grudge for this.
The reason he holds a grudge is because
Warnock
and Benitez didn't apologise, because Fergie did exactly the same against West Ham, and Fergie rang him up and apologised.
Oh, yeah, but that's because they're mates, and I still don't think Fergie should apologise, because one, that team wasn't very weak, it started Ronaldo and Rooney. And two,
and
I'm sorry, you cannot blame somebody else. You've had 38 games to get enough points. You can't blame you going down on another team.
I agree with what you're saying, but obviously then the FA getting involved, and they disciplined Wolves, didn't they?
Yeah, which was a farce in itself.
So
absolute farce. Now
goes round the circle.
You have a squad of players. You can play whoever you like.
Right, leave it, you leave it.
You play who you like. I like that.
Yeah.
Right, moving on. The fixtures of the weekend. Premier League highlight for me.
Premier League is pretty dull, isn't it?
Southampton versus Sunderland. Southampton have got a massive opportunity to gain points over the next four games, because quite traditionally this time period, is really
make
shapes.
Or break.
Yeah, it is make or break. You get 4 games between now and the new year, and then the January transfer opens. This is where it happens. This is honestly where it happens, isn't it? Yeah. Both on the pitch, off the, on the pitch, and off the pitch.
I was talking about excitement level. There's no real exciting fixtures, but I think important fixtures wise, yeah, you're right.
There's from this weekend. There's no actual juicy ones.
Swansea Man United is the only one that I think might be a bit.
Aston Villa Chelsea should be quite tasty. Yeah, especially with Villa picking up a win, and I always remember the 4-4 a few Christmases ago. Just because it's Christmas, it's brought that memory up, and hopefully it'll be as good again.
Wasn't that when Shevchenko was playing?
Yeah, it was. It must have been about 2008, maybe. 2007, 2008, I think.
It's probably worth mentioning that Leeds are playing Chelsea tonight as well.
Yeah, well, you just did mention that.
Oh, sorry. Apologies.
Yeah. Elsewhere in the Championship, the standout one for me is Leicester at home to Cardiff.
That'd be a very interesting game.
League One this weekend coming. Crawley home to Sheffield United. Sorry, Crawley are doing quite well. Sheffield United still up there, and also Doncaster home to MK Dons. Come on, Donny.
Precisely.
In our league.
Who's?
Exactly. Thank you. In League Two, Torquay home to Exeter. They're not.
Southwest.
Exactly. They're not throwing great shapes in the league. Exeter are just in their last player position. Torquay are just below them.
Not showing great shapes. I'm now just picturing the two teams doing a dance off.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a massive game. If Torquay win, they go above them, potentially into the last player position. And it's Torquay versus Exeter. That'll be tasty.
Yeah,
that'll be a really good game. Exeter will fill out that away end, and it's a really good day down there from a long way away. So
the English Riviera.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I absolutely love it down there. So yeah, that's my pick of League Two. Right, moving on again. I asked you guys to have a look at your local team. Have you done this?
Yes.
John Day?
Yes, 3 weeks ago I did it. But
can you remember
what team is, yeah.
What I asked you to do, and this is a tip of the hat to the non-league day, because it was you guys that sort of got us onto this, and we actually used your website to look at our local
club. Can I just say that this morning the non-league day website wasn't working, so they might want to sort that out.
Okay, so we're now criticising the non-league day.
Sort it out,
but I think most of our listeners know about non-league day. If you don't, just search it or go onto their Twitter, which I'll give you in a minute. Right, Dan, we'll start with you. So what I ask you to do is look at your postcode, find out the nearest club to you, and just a little bit about them. So who's the nearest club, and which postcodes are you? Because we all now live in London, but we're all from different areas. So
I'm N1.
So you've used your London postcode?
Yes.
Okay, and who's the nearest
Bethnal
club?
Green.
Bethnal, what league are you in?
Good question.
Oh, you found out loads about Bethnal Green.
I've done loads of research.
What have you found out about Bethnal Green? We'll let you off the hook.
Didn't
George Galloway used to be the MP there?
I'm sure that's on their club website, yeah. For definitely. That's all you've got?
That's all I got.
Must do bow.
Right, I had a look.
Mike Oxley, you got for your London?
I've had a look at both. My London one, I don't have too much information, but it's Harrow Borough. But it's actually Oxy Jets, but because I couldn't get on the non-league website, I couldn't find anything. But Harrow Borough, they're in the Ryman League. Only interesting thing about them is they're playing away at Hastings this weekend.
Oh!
So I couldn't go for them because of our league facing. So
we'll go on to that in a minute, don't worry.
I've had a look at Witton Albion, who are now my nearest in Cheshire, CW8. Because Northwich Vicks are playing their games far, far away in Never Neverland. They're in the Evo Six Northern Premier, currently fourth, playing Worksop Town at the weekend. They reached the FA Trophy finally in 1992, where they lost to Colchester. Most famous probably because their captain Brian Pritchard got sent off in 2004 for tripping up a streaker, which was
sent off for it. Yeah. Did you get a fucking
and he was a copper. And notable former players Mike Whitlow, Jeff Horsfield, Nicky Maynard, Dennis Violet, Alex Kitchener, who's now the Fleetwood Town, and the comedian John Bishop, played for him in the 80s.
I like that.
Yeah.
Alright, mine went for my Greenwich postcode, which is SE10. Meridian FC. They are based in Woolwich.
I see what they've done there.
See what they've done. They play in the Kent Invicta Football League. Looked at them and thought, oh, I wonder what this. Looked on their website, the first thing on their website, Derek May hits his 1300th goal.
Wow. Bloody hell.
That's better than Romario.
Can I just read this for a second? Meridian FC are proud to announce that the club's oldest player and currently in the Southern Vets League scored his 1300th goal of his career on Saturday, 17th of November 2012. This guy
How old is this guy?
73.
No, I was him. I'm sure we've spoken about him
is
before.
Is he David's dad?
Veteran midfielder Derek May is still playing football three midfielder? Times a week at 73 years
midfielder?
Old. He's a midfielder.
He's scored 1,300 goals from midfield.
He's wow. turned out a massive 57 different sides during a 58 career pitch career. Totalling 2,733 appearances.
That's one game in two.
He's amazing.
He's so good.
Hang on, sorry.
He's got a ratio of one in every two. He's from Bromley, South London. He's a father of three and grandfather of five.
How is he
and he's still playing.
How has he managed to keep a record of those 1,300?
Does it matter?
He's basically... He's
well, if he told me that the world was ending tomorrow and that he was my real mum...
Friday the world's ending. This could be the last podcast.
Yeah, it could.
I really hope people are keeping track of those goals by just doing a little tally of drawing lines
definitely.
And then strike me with one and then more
on his bed pole, on his bed.
Right, foot down now, Hastings United. We haven't got time for a podcast update. Yeah, you were looking at the betting thing as well.
Yes, do you remember, before we did nip in, do you remember we were talking about, it was Daniel Greenfield sent us a little message on Facebook last week. We got a little bit confused by the message because, funnily enough, it was handed over to Stuart Hall and it's hard to get a word out of him anyway. So, but basically, long and short of it is that Daniel Greenfield regularly posts betting tips on the website bettingkingdom.com. Now, I had a little look through the website, I can't work it out, but anyway, he's asked
basically,
us...
Basically, he wants to give us one tip a week.
He's asked us to give them, to give him one tip a week, each way on first goal scorer for any game. And basically, at the end of the, if our results come in, it'll be a football podcast tip of the week. If the results come in, at the end of the season, he's going to send us a couple of quid over for the results we've printed right for a little booze up.
Love that.
So, when we do our Christmas special next week, I am going to put it to you that we are going to give Daniel Greenfield our first podcast tip of the week and each way on a first goal scorer in a particular game.
We can do that.
Yes,
and
we
shall.
Thank you very much, Daniel, for the idea. It's great.
Absolutely. We'll crack on with that in the new year as well. Just quickly, Sean is not here, so we'll get a proper Hastings update next week. But they won.
Whee!
Yeah, they won.
What a game.
Oh, it was
absolutely
amazing.
Thriller, end to end.
They won on penalties. I'll leave it for Sean on the show, in the first show of the new year, because, well, I want to do a proper section on it, and we'll still be buzzing about it then. I watched it, bizarrely, with a former goalkeeper, Yanni Setsunen.
Who you then took out on the lash.
True. I took him to the Daily Mirror Christmas party, which is another. But at the end of the game, the best thing, Sean Ray went over to the commentary box, and they said, you must be really knackered, Sean. You've played 120 minutes of penalties, you win 4 out of 10. So he just sounds 4 out of 10 tired and that's it. But we will talk a lot about that next week. Just quickly, follow non-league day at non_league_day. Follow Hastings FC at Hastings UFC. We've been the Football Podcast. This is the last show before Christmas, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Merry Christmas.
And now to singles out John Day with White Christmas.
Oh, please. Go on.
White Christmas.
Why have you done it in the style of the Bee Gees?
Mariah Carey.
That was actually to the tune of Last Christmas.
That's true as well.
Yeah. Really sorry, just got really caught on the spot.
Don't worry. Right, email us banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. We're on Facebook, www.facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. All complaints?
That's
Santa Claus.
Follow us on Twitter @footballpodcast and visit the website www.footballpodcast.co.uk. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry fucking Christmas.